Good morning, church. Hope that your summer is going fantastic. We're continuing on in Plot Twist as we look at the life of Joseph and see how it is that God uses these crazy things that happen to each of us in this thing called life to build our character so that we might know him more. This morning, Rylan Scott, our young adult pastor, is coming to bring the word to us. So I hope that you will give him a warm welcome as we prepare to continue on in our series entitled Plot Twist.
Amen. Good morning, church. Good morning. Good morning. I am so glad to be before you once again. Before I get into some of the things that I have to talk about, let me first of all thank you for those of you that are watching with us. And also, I want to just make sure and acknowledge our senior pastor, Dr. Steve Besner. He is on sabbatical. And I'm just excited that he has allowed me and other pastors to hold it down for him this summer while he is spending time with God. Pastor Steve, we can't wait to be back together with you. Amen. Also, for those of you that might have seen some people walking around with this really cool t-shirt on. This t-shirt is all about something that we're kicking off today, and it's called Serve Central. Now, Serve Central will be located in the atrium of our children's building, and definitely we want for you all to go and check it out. The beautiful thing about Serve Central is that it gives you an opportunity to find out when and where you can plug in at our church here at Houston Northwest. Now, also, if you look at the seat back in front of you, you'll see this color coordinated information card. The interesting thing about this card is if you look at it, you'll see all of the different opportunities we have here at Houston Northwest that you can serve. You can plug in and get part of what we're doing here. Now, I know that we have been recovering, coming back from the pandemic, and it's been slow plugging back in. But let me tell you, there's nothing more exciting than being part of something that is bigger than you. And the body of Christ is global, and you're part of one body right here. And we want for you to plug in and be part of something great. Amen? All right. Now, I want to share with you a couple of things. We have been in the series entitled Plot Twist. We've been talking about this guy by the name of Joseph. Joseph is a really interesting character because Joseph is probably one of the most famous characters in the Bible. Of course, he's not more famous than Jesus, but he comes from a pretty popular family. I mean, given who his dad is, his granddad, his great-granddaddy, oh my goodness, Father Abraham had many sons, right arm, left arm. Y'all remember that song? So just imagine what it's like being Joseph. Being someone who comes from a long line of people being used by God, visited by angels, having these intentional encounters, having a name change from Jacob to Israel. I mean, just really think about the pressure that he is under. And some of you think it's pressure growing up in a family of people, you know, that have master's degrees. Well, Joseph grew up in a family that spent time with God personally. Okay, that's a whole nother level of pressure. And the interesting thing is that Joseph tells us this one thing. Joseph gives it to us very clearly, church, that although he inherited some very interesting character traits, he inherited some very interesting things, but Joseph shows us that you do not have to leave a legacy that is similar to the inheritance that you receive. Just because some of you have inherited some things does not mean that it is the legacy that you have to leave. And that's why I enjoy the story of the life of Joseph in the book of Genesis, because although he inherited some interesting behavior, he could have acted just like Abraham, he could have been like Isaac, he could have been just like his dad Jacob, but instead he decided to allow God to use him, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, he became who God called him to be exclusively. And that's the beauty about being part of the body of Christ and having a relationship with Jesus Christ, is that although you're born into an earthly family, above all things, if you allow God to be who he wants to be in your life, you can reflect and be part of the kingdom family even more so than your earthly family. Amen? Amen. Now, I have a very large portion of scripture that has been assigned to me today, 45 verses, in fact, from the 31st chapter of Genesis. And so I'm not going to read all 45 verses for the sake of preaching time, but what I will do is I'm going to read verses 1 through 8, and then I'm going to jump down to verse 39 and read 39 through 45. So we'll start with verse 1, chapter 41. At the end of 2 years, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing beside the Nile when 7 healthy-looking, well-fed cows come up from the Nile and began to graze among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows, sickly and thin, came up from the Nile and stood beside those cows along the bank of the Nile. The sickly, thin cows ate the healthy, well-fed cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. Now he fell asleep and dreamed a second time. 7 heads of grain, plump and good, came up on one stalk. After them, 7 heads of grain, thin and scorched by the east wind, sprouted up. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 plump, full ones. Then Pharaoh woke up, and it was only a dream. We go down to verse 39. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one as discerning and wise as you are. You will be over my house, and all my people will obey your commands. Only I, as king, will be greater than you." Pharaoh also said to Joseph, "See, I am placing you over all the land of Egypt." Pharaoh removed his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, clothed him with fine linen garments, and placed a gold chain around his neck. He had Joseph ride in his second chariot, and servants called out before him, "Make way." So he placed him over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh said this to Joseph, catch this, "I am Pharaoh, and no one will be able to raise his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt without your permission." Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zaphnath-Paneah and gave him a wife, Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest at On. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. The word of the Lord. God, we thank you for who you are in our lives today. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy. We pray, Lord, that through this preach time, those who are here present and those who are joining us online, God, we just pray that throughout this time that one of two things happen. Either one person or many people decide to give their lives to you, God, or people make the decision to draw closer to you and rededicate their lives to you. Either way, God, we pray that you be glorified in this. Lord, let me decrease, God, so that you might increase, God, so that we'll walk away from this place informed, inspired, and encouraged to live a life that honors you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Now, church, here we are. This is today a message that you will hear that in the life of Joseph is, for me, I would consider to be one of the most pivotal messages that you will hear in Plot Twist. Because quite frankly, this is the sermon that gets Joseph out of prison into the palace. This is a time that I can just imagine while Moses is perched atop of Mount Sinai, writing this beautiful book of Genesis. He is excited about this particular portion because without this series of events, he would not need to lead anyone out of Egypt. Moses pens this, and he pens it in such a way, this biography that he gives us of the life of Joseph, that he makes sure and leaves some points in here that as we walk through today's sermon will make sure and help us understand the power, the majesty, the glory, the detail that God has for every single one of our lives. God is so detailed that he has not left anything out for you, for me, or for anyone else that follows him. It's simply this, that we are able to take in these words, this word, this breath of God, so that we can apply it to our lives and understand who it is that God would have us to be. So out of these 45 verses, my desire is to express to you 3 homiletical truths that we can apply immediately to our lives today, We can walk out of this room and we can be better followers of Jesus Christ so that we can let the world know exactly how powerful God is. My first point today is this, is that God is setting the table. God is setting the table. Now, what's interesting is this, is that when Joseph is experiencing right now in this time in history, is that he is locked up, he's in prison. The verses start off with Pharaoh having a dream. The chapter starts off with Pharaoh having a dream. Yet while Pharaoh is having this dream, understand that Joseph is still incarcerated. He's still locked up for a crime that he did not commit. He still is locked up because of a lie that somebody told on him. Yet God is setting for him a table. Now, back in April, the elders went to dinner. And I had the opportunity and privilege of joining them at that dinner. And I mean, it was a beautiful restaurant. It was one of those white linen establishments. I mean, it was nice, guys. This isn't the one where they roll the forks up in the napkin and put it down in front of you. Oh, no, 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 no. This place had the salad fork and the meal fork and the bread knife. And the meal knife, and the bread plate, and the entree plate, and the water glass, and the wine glass. Oh, my goodness. It had the napkin folded ever so eloquently right there in front of you for you to open up and place it on your lap and enjoy the meal that had been prepared for you. Now, I had the best place to sit in the house. I had the best seat at the table. The best seat. I had the best seat. No, it was not the head of the table. I sat next to Dr. Besner's wife, Joy. Ryland, why was that the best seat? Because Joy doesn't eat bread. That's right. And so I had the privilege of not only having my bread, but Joy was so kind and benevolent and generous to allow me to have her portion of bread as well. And it was a wonderful evening. But the interesting thing about this, folks, was not that. It was the fact that we walked into a room and the table was set for us. Now, we don't know when that table was set. We don't know if that table was set 30 minutes before the time we arrived. We don't know if it was set that morning. We don't know if the table was set earlier that week. We just know that we walked into a dinner table that was set for us. The Bible often describes God as the Lord of hosts. The reason why the Bible describes God as the Lord of hosts, because it was customary in those days to have dinner parties. Everything was wrapped around a dinner party. A wedding was around a dinner party. Somebody died, they had a dinner party. If you just were hanging out, you had a dinner party. Jesus spent time hanging out with people at dinner parties. The woman that came in with the alabaster jar, she came in and interrupted a dinner party. Dinner parties was the thing, man. Come on. We serve God who is the Lord of hosts, who is the greatest host of all. And all of us that have ever been to any type of event, the greatest event that we go to is when we show up, they are ready for us to arrive. There's nothing more frustrating than showing up to a dinner and they're saying, hold on, we're still cooking. Or hold on just one second, we're still trying to get things together. Or if anybody has ever gone to an event, I've been to an event before. Oh, okay, hold on, I got things. Let me go change clothes and I'll come right back out. Well, wait a minute, I thought you told me to get here at this time. Nevertheless, I'm here. And so what happens is the table was set for us for when we arrived. All we had to do was sit down and enjoy the meal. What does this have to do with today's message? Understand this, was Pharaoh had a dream and God was preparing a scenario that only Joseph could walk into, that only Joseph could feel, that only Joseph's specific skill set and his specific anointing could be used to bring about a solution, but Joseph was still incarcerated. Although he was locked up, God was preparing a table for him. See, when we went to dinner that night, they could have set that table while we were in a meeting. They could have set the table while we were en route. We don't know. We just know that when we got there, the table was prepared. What we must understand is that there are many of us in here that do not realize that where we are right right now does not mean that God is not setting a table for you so that only you can arrive at, that only your skill set can be used at, that only your specific anointing can be executed at, because God is just that amazing. Let me give it to you in Bible terms. Let me give it to you in Bible terms. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It goes on to say, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now let me help you understand what that really means. The Hebrew translation for the word before is panya, which means at an earlier time. I know many times people think that when they read that passage, God's going to set it up in front of the people that hate me, in front of my haters, and I'm going to show enough, get the victory. No. That's not what that means. What it means is that before you ever arrive, the table will be waiting on you to show up. God is setting a table, panya you, before you at an earlier time, while you're in prison, while you're crying from a broken heart, while you're trying to recover from financial calamity, while you're trying to deal with issues in your marriage, while you're dealing with health diagnoses, God is already setting the table, and all you've got to do is trust the dream that God gave you. Somebody ought to say amen right there. God is setting the table. God set the table for Joseph in such an eloquent and masterful and detailed way. Set the table in such a way that everything had to happen in its specific order. See, remember, Joseph was in prison. And when Joseph was imprisoned, the Bible tells us at the end of chapter 39 of the book of Genesis, God tells us very clearly that God gave him favor. And God showed Joseph unusual kindness. And so because of this, the warden made Joseph in charge of the entire prison. God is setting the table. And God sets the table in prison because shortly after that, there would be a scandal in the land. Pharaoh would have an assassination attempt on his life. And so the two closest people to his meals, the cupbearer and the baker, are now thrown in prison. And the only way that two executive employees of the federal government are going to listen to anybody is that person has to be a person of authority. So God had to set the table so that Joseph would be placed in authority before the scandal that would throw the cupbearer and the baker in prison, so that when they arrived there, they would meet someone that they would be told, this is who is in charge of you, so that when they woke up one morning stressed out, Joseph would say, man, what is wrong with you? God is setting the table. God set the table so eloquently that Joseph asked them what was wrong with them, and God gave such detail that they told Joseph the dream. God is setting the table. And so what happens is Joseph declares something in the previous chapter. He declares this, and he declares this primary thing. He said, for the interpretation of dreams only belongs to God. He says the interpretation of dreams only belong to God. Yet in chapter 41, Pharaoh's calling wise men because God is setting the table. Pharaoh is trying to get his wise men, his polytheistic followers and idol worshipers, to do something that only God's man can do. Let me help y'all understand something. There are some people that are around you that are trying to get things to happen every other way but by contacting you. Don't worry about it. Fret not. Have faith. The day will come where they will call you because they will need you, because God's hand is exclusively on you. God is setting the table. God's setting the table. He's setting the table. And the cupbearer, the baker, arrived in prison. And Joseph interpreted their dream to the T. God is setting the table. Don't stress. Don't worry. Wherever you are now means nothing, because God is setting the table. My second point is this, as we progress through today's sermon, Because I want y'all to focus very clearly on this point right here. And this point is extremely important because this point says this very clearly. If you're taking notes, write this down. God will get the glory. God will get the glory. This is not if, this is not a possibility, this is not a might, this is an absolute guarantee. God will get the glory. God will get the glory. Now it's interesting because we exist within a society that is given us, that has given us this attaché, this colloquialism that I've heard my entire life. And let me tell y'all something, it sounds really good. It's one of those lines that once you hear it said, it makes a man feel very successful. It would cause a family to feel proud if they were saying this line about their father or grandmother or the matriarch of the family. It would cause you to feel as though you were a true American. This is a line that is part of our culture, and this line, unfortunately, is not truly in line with Christian doctrine. Nor does it even make any sense. The line is simply this, because y'all want to know, I'm going to tell you. The line is this, self-made man. Now, I'm just going to tell you practically before we go into the Bible, practically, anybody that says they are a self-made man, that sounds very good. It sounds admirable. I worked hard and I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. That's what Booker T. Washington said. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps and you work hard and you become something. But the reality is any person that has graduated from college has had no less than 100 instructors pour into their life. So how are you self-made? That doesn't count cousins, aunts and uncles, mom and dad. That does not even count part-time job supervisors. That doesn't count for pastors and youth leaders. That doesn't count for children's church leaders. That doesn't count for anybody else that has poured into you. That simply only counts for the number of instructors in the classrooms for the classes that you have taken in order to be a person that can say they have a bachelor's degree. Yet we tout that we are self-made. No one is self-made. And if you are a Christian and a follower of Jesus Christ, the Bible says this in Psalm 100, third stanza, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We are not self-made. We are God-made. And if we begin to give ourselves the credit for anything that we have acquired or amassed in our life, we are robbing God of the glory that he deserves. We're robbing God of the truth that he sent his son Jesus to die for us. We're robbing God of the fact that the car accident could have killed you, but it did not. We're robbing God of the fact that when you were robbed, that somebody could have pulled the trigger, but they did not. We're robbing God of the fact that you had a heart attack and it could have killed you, but it did not. We're taking away from God the reality that you could have lost your mind a long time ago, but the Holy Ghost kept it together so that you could call out for the Lord God Jesus Christ to have mercy on your life. We are not self-made, we are God-made, and it's time for the church to acknowledge the reality that we are not individuals, but we are part of the body of Christ. There's no such thing as a self-made man. God will get the glory. Now, the reality is this, is that when we look at the life of Joseph had a reason to believe for a brief moment that he was self-made. If we have any favorite kids in the room, don't raise your hand, because us middle kids will get angry. But if you're the baby of the family, you know what it feels like for the entire house to revolve around you. Oh, I got him. I got you. Joseph was that guy. Remember, he was the apple of Israel's eye. Remember, he had the coat of many colors. Nobody else got this coat. Joseph got this special handmade coat. And let me tell you, there was no Saks Fifth Avenue to go buy a luxury coat from in that day. Dyes were hard to come by. Every article of clothing was handmade. So I need for you to understand the time and the finance that went into the design and the dyeing of the fabric and the sewing together of this coat. The world as he knew it, revolved around Joseph. Yet God gave him a dream. We must understand that Joseph experienced a series of events in his life to transition him from the idea that everyone will bow to me to when he finally gets to the palace, that everyone is bowing to the God that saved me. And we must, all of us, be purified of our secular, individualistic indoctrination to get to a place of biblical truth that we are not self-made, we are God-made. It is he who has made us, and we are not ourselves. And had it not been for the Lord on our side, none of us would be in this room right now. It's not the credit, it's not the savings, it's not the retirement, it's none of those things. It is simply God, because let me tell you, there are people that have all of that that would trade it all if they could get one more day to live. I wish I had somebody in here that could understand that it was nobody but God that allowed us to be where we are, and God will get the glory. God must get the glory. He's not going to allow you to gain glory over his destiny that he's given you. You didn't even write the book of your life. He did. How dare we steal even one chapter, one paragraph, or one line for our own praise? God must get the glory because he set the tables. He's the one that sets the tables for us. Because he sets the tables, we must ensure that he gets the glory. And so as we look at this particular story of Joseph within the text that we've read, understand that Pharaoh is trying to get these guys to interpret the dream, and they can't do it. They're not able to do it. And so the cupbearer is pouring that cup of wine for Pharaoh. And he says, oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Pharaoh, I remember. There's somebody that I think could help you. There's a Hebrew slave that is imprisoned, and I think he might be the one for you to get you through this. Now, what's interesting is that Joseph is still incarcerated while all this is going on. This has been years since he's had that original dream. And he's incarcerated, and they begin to bring out the idea that he might be the one. But understand, he's not identified as Joseph with the coat of many colors. He's not identified as Joseph, the son of Israel. He's not identified as Joseph, the one who was the captain of the prison. He's not identified as Joseph, the one who was in charge of Potiphar's house. He's simply identified as the Hebrew slave. One thing we have to understand, church, is that we are not always identified and talked about as we always want to be identified and talked about. However, the reality is that if God is at work, God is at work. And you cannot stress about what people say about you or what people call you, because even that is part of God's plan, because we're not self-made, we're God-made. We have to realize that even through that, how poetic and how beautiful it is, and how detailed was Moses when he wrote this at the top of Mount Sinai, that he made sure that throughout the story of the life of Joseph, Potiphar's wife called him a Hebrew slave, his brothers made him a Hebrew slave, and the cupbearer called him a Hebrew slave, so that we could understand that it's not about position, it's not about power, it's not about posture. When God wants to use a person, he will pick a person up out of nothing and make them something to show the world that God uses the foolish to confound the wise, and God has no respect to person, and God is all seeing, all knowing, and all powerful. And to prove through us, through the story of Joseph that Moses wrote for all of us, that if God could do it for a Hebrew slave, he could definitely do it for every one of us in this room. Somebody ought to take a moment and tell God thank you right there. Now, we understand that God sets the table, and we understand that God will get the glory. God gets the glory because he sets the table. And my final homiletical truth is this. We know that God sets the table. We understand that God will get the glory. And then we will rest in this, is that the destination is worth the delay. The destination is worth the delay. Now, Rylan, why would you say this? I say this because when we look at the story of Joseph, when God gave him this dream in the field, in the pasture, God never gave Joseph a timetable. God never told Joseph it would happen in this time. He never told Joseph in a couple of weeks. He never told Joseph in a month. He never told Joseph in a few years. But what we do see is that from the time of the dream to the time that Pharaoh calls for Joseph to be shaven and to be clothed in fresh clothing, we see that there has been a certain number of years that have passed. But interestingly enough, let me help y'all understand this, was that Joseph interpreted a dream for the cupbearer and the baker, and he had the exact timetable for them. He told them 3 days. He told that baker that he was going to get hung in a certain amount of time, and that's exactly when it happened. He told the cupbearer that he would be restored to his place in the kingdom in a certain amount of time, and it absolutely happened, but he did not know when he would ultimately reach the destination of the destiny that God gave him connected to the dream that he received in the pasture. Let me help y'all understand the reason why. It's because God's not going to give you clarity on what he's going to do for you in the time he's going to do it, because if he did, y'all would leave God alone. God, I got it from here. You told the wrong guy the right thing. I know in 6 months it's going to happen, so what do I need to pray for? I got the guarantee he's a man that he cannot lie. And so the reality is that we often stress as followers of Jesus Christ, why is it that we can tell people how to fix their life, but we don't know how to fix ours? How can we tell a person how to fix their finance, yet ours are in shambles? How can we tell a person how to fix their marriage, but ours is on the rocks? How can we pray for others to be healed, yet we're sick in our own bodies? How, God, are you so good? And I see your goodness in people all around me, but God, there is yet pain in my heart. There's pain in my household. There's pain all around me. God, why am I going through this? Why did you give me a dream about my brothers bowing to me and I look up and I'm in a pit? Why did you give me a dream about me being royalty and I look up and this man's wife is lying on me? Why did you give me a dream? And I beg the cupbearer to remember me. And the end of the 40th chapter says he forgot about me. Why, God? Why am I being delayed from the destination that I know you promised? Why? And the reason why the delay happens, church, is when you look at Joseph's dream, it was a dream about greatness. It was a dream about him being in a position that no one in his family had ever been in before. He was rewriting history. He was transferring a group of people that was a nation to another nation. He was doing something historic. And so therefore, God had to allow him to go through some things to prepare him for where he was, for where he was supposed to be. The greater the delay, oftentimes the greater the destination. And when we get frustrated, when we get sick and tired, when we get upset, let me help y'all understand something. There's an anecdote for that. And it's written in the New Testament in the book of Galatians, the 6th chapter and the 9th verse. And it says very clearly, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. The frustrating thing is we want for our season to be when we want our season to be. Well, if the Lord doesn't do it by the end of the week, we're just going to move to something else. Well, you know, 2020 was a wash. We all agree to that. So 2021, is the year that God's going to do it. And if he doesn't do it in 2021, then we're going to do something different. And we as Christians, we celebrate that Christ died on the cross for us, yet we constantly try and put God within the confines of our timeline as though we're intelligent individuals. But the reality is God is looking at us laughing and saying, ha, 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 you have no idea what I have for you. In fact, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of man the good things that I have prepared for you. In fact, Joseph had no idea his dream would take him to be the vice president of Egypt. Could you just imagine for one moment, just think for a second. Joseph has this dream, and when he ends up in the pit, how many of us in here would have said that dream was hogwash? How many of us, if we had that dream and we ended up at Potiphar's house, remember, he was in charge. How many of you would have said, this is my dream. I'm here. I have arrived. I'm in charge of this man's house, and it's going to be good. I got some issues with his wife, but it's going to be all right because God is good. And then how many of you had you ended up in prison because of a lie that somebody told would have said that that dream was a waste of my passion and a waste of my time? How many of you, when you interpreted a dream for somebody, for the cupbearer, and you would have begged him to remember you when you get to the palace, and he forgot about you? How many of you would have said, if I see that cupbearer, it's not going to be pretty. Lord, you better keep him away from me, because if I see him, I interpreted the dream for you, God, and he sat up here and forgot about me. Nope, I'm not with it. Matter of fact, let me post something on Instagram right now. And so the reality is that the destination was absolutely delayed. But what God had for Joseph was something much, 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 much greater. The reward was greater because he was doing something that no one had ever done before. Now, I'm not here to say that everyone in the room is going to do something that no one has ever done before, but what I will tell you is this truth, and the truth is this, is that God has a destiny for every one of you in the room, and if you have not yet arrived at that destiny, it does not matter, because the dream is as real today as it was the day God gave it to you. Joseph had the dream in the pasture, and it was real, but it took him to the pit. But while he was in the pit, the dream still was real, and it took him to Potiphar's house. And while he was in Potiphar's house, the dream still was real, and it put him in prison. And while he was in prison, the dream still was real, and because it was real, it elevated him into the palace. And I need for some of you to be not weary in well-doing, for in due season, God will arrive you at the palace that he has destined for you. Will it be a palace like Egypt? I'm not telling you that, but I do know that God can use everyone in this room if you give him a willing heart. Is there anybody in this place that can say, I might be in my pit, but my dream is still real? I might have been lied on and betrayed, but the dream is still real. I might have been put in prison, but the dream is still real, because if God says something, it shall come to pass, because God is a man that he cannot lie. Is there a believer in the house today that knows that God is setting a table for him? If God is setting a table for you, you ought to stand up on your feet in this room and give God glory, because I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through, but I know that God is setting a table, and when I get to my table, I'm going to be everything that God has called me to be. Your table needs you. Your table is calling for you. God just wants to know, when you get there, will he get the glory? When you get there, will he get the glory? Or will you stand arrogantly and say you're a self-made man? God forbid. Today is the day that we understand that Joseph finally arrives at his destined place. Not short of bumps and bruises, not short of trial and calamity, not short of sleepless nights, not short of scandal, not short of pain, not short of bridges being burned, yet he has arrived at his destined place because God's hand simply was on his life. And if God's hand is on your life, he doesn't need anyone else's to be on yours at all. Because if God said it, that settles it. And the reality is as followers of Jesus Christ, we often get romanticized by the idea that we need other people to open doors for us. And the truth is God will open a door no man can open. He'll lock a door no man can. He'll open a door no man can open. He'll lock a door that no man can lock. He'll make a way that no man can make. He'll build a bridge over troubled water that no man can blow up. He'll do whatever he needs to do to make sure that his word is true in your life. Now, the reality is this, is there might be some of you in this room that you might be in the pasture, you might be in the pit, you might be in Potiphar's house, you might be in prison. You might have helped someone else as Joseph helped the cupbearer. But I want to encourage every one of you in here that whatever God has shared with you, he is big enough and he is awesome enough to see it through in your life. This is an amazing opportunity for you to rededicate your life to God today. This is an awesome day to make the decision, you know what? I've allowed my pasture experience or my pit experience or my prison experience to keep me from serving in ministry. I've taken a break because I've been selfish, but God has given you a chance today to make that recommitment. Some of you might have said, you know what, I've done all these things, but I have not yet been baptized. Today is a great day. We would love to connect to you, connect with you, to help you make the public declaration of your internal decision that you have made to follow Jesus Christ. And if you have never given your life to Christ, let me help you understand this. That God loves every one of you in the room and every one of you that are watching online now, so much so that he knows the number of hairs on your head. And he loves you enough to give you an opportunity to give your life to him today. This is the greatest day of your life because you can change the rest of your life by making that decision today. And if that's your decision, we would love for you to text to the number on your screen, "Know Jesus." Or if you'd like to get baptized, we'd love for you to text to the number on your screen about baptism so that we can connect with you and help you continue this thing we call the Christian walk. God is big. God is great. God sets tables. God gets glory. And the destination may be delayed, but it's absolutely worth it. Let's pray, church. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your time that you have spent with us in this preached word. We pray, God, that today is a day that people make the decision, God, to recommit to you, to serve in the body of Christ, Lord, to give their life to you. Because, God, you made the ultimate sacrifice by sending your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. And because of that, we thank you, we praise you, we love you, and we magnify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening to this week's sermon here at Houston Northwest Church. Our vision is to make Houston more like heaven by helping Houstonians like me and you become more like Jesus. Now, if you have any questions about following Jesus or you made a decision today to give your life to him, please let us know. Text KNOWJESUS to 281-946-6500. Connect with us throughout the week at hnw.org. And again, thanks for listening. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we cannot wait to see you again next time. Peace.